right, now we're going to start.
So I'm going to start with today we're going to do one of my favorite passages in Emma Banan Smecha by far. Okay, I just, some reason, you know, like sometimes the great Torah speak to you. But we're going to begin with a mention of a very, very important piece in Commentary Magazine by Daniel Gordas. A couple of people sent it to me already. And so if it hasn't hit you on the interwebs, it should. It's worthwhile to look at. Just look up Commentary Magazine, you'll see in the corner. And he talks about, the article is called, Are Young Rabbis Turning on Israel? And of course it's a hypothetical question because the answer he gives is, yes they are. And one second. Here, he quotes an email, okay, from a rabbi who was from a dean of a rabbinical school in Israel. Okay? One second. He ran a recent message to students at the interdenominational rabbinical school at Boston's Hebrew College, asking themselves to prepare for themselves for Yom HaZikaron by musing on the following paragraph. For Yom HaZikaron, our kavanah is to open up our communal remembrance to include losses on all sides of this conflict in Israel/Palestine.
You know, the dean of the Hebrew University, Hebrew College, Rabbinical School.
Uh-oh. One second, let me finish the quote. In this spirit, our framing question for Yom HaZikaron is this. On this day, what do you remember and for whom do you grieve? Yeah, who is it?
His brother.
What?
His brother.
It's his brother? Oh, he didn't mention that, did he?
No.
Whoopsie. So he like, wow, he trashed his brother. Really, ripped him to shreds. So he basically, he goes along, I mean, it's worth reading. You have to read it through, because like sometimes you read a piece and you're like, this is like very true, this whole piece. And he says that he feels like the denominations, the liberal Jews, have lost a sense to a large degree of what it means to be a people. They don't have a sense of, and this really dovetails, it's not like my normal introduction, that's kind of like all over the place, this really dovetails into what Rav Tachlis talks about. They don't have, he says, they don't have a sense of memory, but also he says, they don't have a sense of us versus them. Okay? They don't have a sense of like enemies. They're uncomfortable with the idea that Jewish people have enemies. You can read it if you want. Right? They don't have the sense that if we have to protect ourselves, that people hate us. You know what I'm saying? He says it actually quite eloquently. He calls it actually Jewish Protestantism. Okay, but he says, one second. Here he says. If you asked a Jew at any other time in the history of our people whether or not he had enemies, the notion that he considered the possibility that he did not have enemies would have occasioned a blast of the mordant humor that has helped keep our tribe alive through the millennia. Today, however, the discomfort with the idea of the enemy and the intolerability of being in a drawn-out conflict has led these students to the conviction that Israel must solve the conflict. The Palestinian position is not going to shift, that much they intuit. But having enemies and being in an interminable conflict is unbearably painful for them. So Israel must change. And if it will not or cannot, then it is Israel that is at fault. Meaning, like, we don't have enemies.
That can be... No, right. We have enemies.
No.
That's our problem to solve it.
It's our fault. We shouldn't have enemies. But, wow. But it comes from the notion that we shouldn't have enemies. We shouldn't be having enemies. And that idea is totally foreign, completely foreign to, like, when you read this book, when you read Emma Banan Smecha, you realize just how much of a joke that is. Now, here he's writing the Holocaust, and the whole essence of the book is based on this idea of we are a people, and we forgot that. Right? And why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu bring suffering upon us? Specifically, to remind us of that. We're going to get to that today. We're going to get back to that again today. Okay, to remind us that either we remember who we are on our own, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, reminds us. And it's not always a pleasant reminder. And when I see things like this, I always look at it, first of all, hard to eat good watermelon at the same time, give a share. I'm nervous about his conclusions, because you're talking about the future leadership, a good chunk of the future leadership of American Jewry, who seriously wonder whether Israel's in the right or not. They see it, you know, as a conflict of equals. They don't see themselves as having a hand in the game. It's like, oh, you know, well, if Israel's right, or you know what I'm saying? And that's not all conservative or reform, but it's a good chunk more than they're willing to let on.
It's like Western.
We right, they're wrong. Now how do we solve it? You can't carry on fighting forever.
No. The liberal establishment has bought into their identification. I mean, it's the same thing that happened in Germany. I mean, they bought into their identification with the liberal media.
Liberalism.
You know, New York Times is more holy than the Rambam. And
I didn't know it was feeding right into your...
What?
Anger or passion.
No, that's just a fact. We had this kid over last week who's, I don't know, say a religious conservative Jew, an affiliated conservative Jew, or whatever. He's here writing speeches for Tzipi Livni. That's what he's here. He's here volunteering in Israel, living in Israel, loves Israel, writing speeches for Tzipi Livni. And he believes more vehemently than the next person that, like, you know, we got to give everything back, and Palestinians will love us.
You weren't able to cure him of his perspective? Anyway, that's one fear, that you see the whole liberal establishment moving in that direction. But the greater fear, to me, is when I read about Smicha, it's a metaphysical fear. Meaning, Rav Teichtov truly believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way of reminding us. And that either we remind ourselves, as we'll see today, or the Ribbono Shel Olam will remind us and put us back where we belong. And when you see things like this, you see history moving much faster than it ever did. Can you imagine Jews forgetting what happened like 50 years ago? You know what I'm saying? It's not that long ago. You know? I'm telling this by the Prime Minister, I'm reading about Entebbe. You know what happened in Entebbe, right? They hijacked the plane, and then they took the plane to
Uganda.
What'd they do there?
Separated the Jews from the non Jews.
Correct. Wasn't that long ago?
Wasn't even a Jewish plane.
Wasn't a Jewish plane at all. It was an Air France plane. I didn't realize this. They took all the non Jews and let them go.
Yeah.
And they just kept the Jews.
I'm the captain.
Well, Idi Amin was crazy.
Idi Amin was crazy, but, you know. But meaning, can you, like, these people can't, what would happen if that would happen today?
That wouldn't surprise you.
Wouldn't surprise me or you, but what would the establishment do? It's not Israelis or non-Israelis, it's Jews and non-Jews. You know what I'm saying? It's going to happen.
Wouldn't change them. That's the problem.
Just got off the phone with my brother. He told me that they're in San Francisco. There's a guy who has in the petition array on the ballot for next year. There is a law outlawing circumcision in the city of
the comic about it right now.
Not in the back.
Comic strip.
Okay. One page. Pechet. Okay. This is one of my favorite, one of my favorite, I don't know, but I'm not sure why, I really don't know. Sometimes things just appeal to you. Remember I said above, the whole purpose is to awaken us to return, meaning everything that happened to us, he believed, the whole Holocaust thing is to remind us to return. Shemati is a davar na'em yishmosh Rabbeinu Elokim, Ish Elokim, Hagaon, HaKadosh Rabbunim Mipshischa. Rav Simcha Bunim Mipshischa. What did he write?
The Meshech Chochmah.
Correct.
He has a thing about Shechshul Shebarlin in Berlin, Yerushalayim. Kosai.
What? That was the Meshech Chochmah?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Bepasuk, Mashcheini Acharecha Navruta. So that's a quote from
Sure.
Pull me, I will run after you. To be a rokach, the Meshchachim says the following. Hine, b'kniyat behema, yesh shnei minei meshicha. Right, you can acquire an animal through the one of the kinyanim you can do is meshicha. Meshicha means you pull on the reins, right, and it comes. So there's two possible ways of doing this kinyan meshicha. Ha'echad, kore ota v'hiolechet achara. One, you call the animal, here, Bessie, right? Bessie comes, and it's yours. Vasheni, hekisha b'makal v'ratza lefanav. The other one is you stand behind the animal, you whap it on the butt, and it runs ahead of you. V'chol echad me'ilu shnei haminayim, hu kone otam meshicha. You can do meshicha either way. You can either call the animal, or you can whap it on the behind. V'akachiluk be'echad shnei haminayim, but the difference between the two is...
Patuach.
Dibemino Rishon. In the first type, the Meshicha, right? The Meshicha is calling the animal. Habalabait holech lefanav. The balabait is going first, and the animal follows. Ubamin hasheni, the second type, hamishicha hi behachashat makel, right? When you're wrapping it on the butt. Az abehimahu lechem lifanim, balabaitu mecharia. So then the animal goes first, and the balabait comes afterwards. Eza mishicha adifa lebehimah. So which one does the animal like better?
Being called Bessie.
That's right. Bessie. Vada amishicha b'der kriya. The ain lebehimah shum keev, because it hurt. Masha'en gain hamashicha derech haka'a. Right? Which is not true if you hit it on the butt. Why? Ko'ev la, it hurts. V'sovel yisurei haka'a. Kein anachnu lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'inyan kriyatenu lashuv le'eretz Yisrael. It says the way our return to the land of Israel is going to be exactly the same. V'im nishma l'kol ha'korei otan v'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu lashuv le'eretz Yisrael. If we hear the voice of God calling us, as niyeh bebichinat mishicha dekorei ota v'holech d'acharav, then we'll hearken, we'll hear the call. Well, we'll hear the call to us and we'll follow it. V'lo nizvol shum tzar v'shum haka'ot, and we won't suffer any pain or any slamming. Ela nelech miyotzoneinu hatov v'li ezech rech mibachutz. We'll go of our own free will. V'akadav Hashem yizbarach elech lefaneinu v'anu acharav, and God will go before us and we will follow. V'ashein kein, this is not going to be the case. If we don't return on our own, ela namtin ad shiavor hamakel v'yakeh otanu. Rather, we wait until the staff comes and slams us. Az tiyah meshicha bebechina tekisha v'makel v'ratza lefanav. Then it'll be meshicha. It's the same meshicha, but it'll be the meshicha of slam with the stick. And it runs ahead. And we will suffer the pain and the anguish and the sufferings of the staff from our enemies. Until they force us to run before God to Eretz Yisrael. So what do we want? Pull me. I'll run after you. I knew. Acquire me in such a way that I'll run after you. Put in our hearts to be drawn behind you. They called us to the righteous of the nation. Call us to return to our inheritance. V'lo tikne otanu b'mashicha d'makel. We'd rather you not acquire us through that of the staff. Shelo yeh b'rkoneinu lashuv v'rak ha'makel yachivchenu lashuv. We don't want to have a situation where we return only because the staff is forcing us. Da'az tarich v'yitzal lefanav. Shananuch niyel lefanecha v'ata acharin. And then you add kantvarav. V'divrei pi chachmat chayim. Nice. Good. He says, what a vart. I don't know. That vart. It just always struck me as so true. It's true. You're going to come back, God says. There's two ways.
This is a basic tenet of everything that we do. I mean, it's what we say in our davening. It's how we talk to our children.
You know, how say you? What do you mean?
Would you like to do it the nice way? Or no,
I think that Kadosh Baruch Hu sent us out of Israel in the beginning.
That's like you give your kids a choice. Would you like to go upstairs on your own? Or would you like me to take you upstairs?
Whatever.
I'm sorry. Yeah?
We were chased out of Eretz Israel for our sins.
Uh-huh.
It's as if we've never stopped in chasing. Why would you all of a sudden think that he's changed directions?
Okay. Rav Kook has a whole lengthy treatise on this. On the idea that since we defiled Eretz Yisrael, so we had to clear it out. It's almost like, you know what I'm saying? We had to empty it out, allow it to be purified. Kind of like a foam air transplant.
Fumigation.
What?
A fumigation.
Dry wine? What? Exactly. Spiritually, and then it's right for re-inhabit.
Dry wine cleans the palate. You can taste the food.
You don't like the dry wine example?
Maybe.
Meaning, one would argue, we weren't chased out. We behaved in such a way that prompted us to be and vomited out.
And despite the fact that everyone knows this, we can't get out of our own way.
What do you mean?
That's exactly the point. The land spat us out. Did we make such a change in Galus that actually warranted us coming back?
In manner.
That's what God says.
In manner. That's exactly the point. The land spat
going
us out.
To bring you
it
back.
It really wants us.
Do you want to do it easily, or do you want to do it with pain?
The hard way.
Do you want you to? Do I have to teach it to you? It's like, you know, I don't know. It's all these
stories. I say we vomited out. So if we're still.
If Len didn't
want
us,
point of going back?
Do you want Yisurim or not?
What do you mean, what's the point of going back?
You're going to get kicked out again.
I don't know. I don't think we're. Are we idol worshippers today?
What?
The second time, you mean? Yeah. I don't think it was just Lashon Hara. It was a lot more than that. A lot more than that. Good question. I just think this is like this is something that everybody actually knows. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's right. In the art scroll Tisha B'Av thing. Right. You know what I'm saying?
It's just in Tisha B'Av, it's everything. With Rosh Hashanah davening, you know, we ask Hashem to forgive us, B'lo'ayi de'yisurim, Ra'im.
Right.
Like, you know, forgive me, whatever.
And we will be purified.
And everyone knows this. I mean, we
that there's an easy way and a hard way?
I think we all know this essentially personally and collectively. I think.
Remember Howard Glasner? Howard Glasner in the ER? He said anytime he had an unruly patient, he would call security, usually a drug-addicted patient, and he would come up to the guy and say, we can do this one of two ways. We can do this the easy way.
Or any way.
Or my way. Or the hard way.
I mean, but that's the essential human dynamic. We don't.
What do you mean? So why isn't it convincing? Why is it not convincing? It's not convincing because people in their hearts, while they know it to be true, they're...
Also, they need to know...
Why do kids have to do it the hard way?
They need to know how to do it. There was probably you've read this already, but Malcolm Gladwell has this in his book, in one of his famous books. He talks about an attempt to get students to get vaccinated for tetanus. He tried to convince them to do a psychological study. You know what I'm talking about? Get students vaccinated for tetanus. And they had two groups. One group where they said, you know, you should get vaccinated for tetanus because it's a good thing to do. Whatever.
Nobody did it.
And one group where they scared the students. And they told them, if you don't get vaccinated for tetanus, then, you know, your eyes are going to fall out and you're not going to be able to walk straight and whatever. They scary pictures of people. And it didn't work. Neither worked. It didn't do anything. And that's what I'm saying. Like, we know that God's going to throw lightning bolts or whatever.
So let me ask you this.
What they found was, is that if they told the students, okay, you need to get shot for tetanus, and the clinic is open between 8 and 10 in the morning, and here's how to get there. And they showed them, and they put a map about how to get to the clinic. The students came to the clinic, regardless of whether they were scared or not by the tetanus. And they said that sometimes people realize that this is the right thing to do, but they don't know how. They may even know subconsciously how to do it, but they need to be led by the hand to be shown.
What do you want to do?
You're stuck in your rut and you don't do anything that you want to get out of your
rut. It's like Weight Watchers.
That's not good.
Yes,
no, it's like
have watermelon today. No.
It's like Weight Watchers, right? What does Weight Watchers do? Nothing.
Communal guilt.
No way.
It's the weighing.
No way. You measure the amount of food that you eat. It tells you to measure the amount of food you eat. Everyone knows if you eat less food, you'll lose weight. Everyone knows that. But yet, unless you actively measure your food,
I think it's much more important how many carbohydrates you eat.
Whatever it is. They actually get it to work because they make people look at what they're really doing. They force them to calculate.
There's a program.
And then at the end of the day, they can turn around and say, I ate 2 grams of steak, therefore I've not eaten 50 grams of one of these, and I've lost weight.
And you've changed, you're actively monitoring what you're doing.
So how do you get people to move here, if they all know that they should?
Well, the huge things that have done it to
Nefesh B'Nefesh.
You think so? Whoa.
Look at what Nefesh B'Nefesh, what does Nefesh B'Nefesh offer in actuality?
Nothing.
Nothing. They offer nothing.
Right.
And they've been tremendously successful.
Whoa.
Now they're proving that it's not so successful.
What? Really? People going back?
No. I don't think people going back.
Percentages of how many Jews there are in America and how many are Canada.
Do the numbers really go up significantly?
It feels like it.
Because they made you feel like it.
I don't know. Like, I didn't... When I was, like, in college or after I was married, I didn't know a lot. I didn't almost know anybody that made Aliyah.
Well, plenty of Americans made Aliyah for the years.
It was like an unusual thing.
Now it's equally unusual.
Is it gone back to being unusual?
No, it was when we went.
When I was in Detroit, and there was a Aliyah Chug.
The same people in the Aliyah Chug year after year. Let me put it this way: we were not in the Aliyah Chug. Were you?
So the main thing for the force to come was the stick. Sticks of beating in the Middle East, the sticks of beating in Ethiopia and Russian Jewry, and then you got the main
Aliyah. I think Yafadashi does great work,
but that wasn't tshuva, that was like fear of your life.
Right.
And then, someone gave him an easy way of doing it, showed them the map, handed them a plane and said, "Here, do you want to come?"
Yafadashi does great work, but I'm not entirely convinced that, I mean, I think they definitely help a small minority of people put him over the edge, just by giving them information. But in general, like, are you going to make a life change because Nefer Nefer advertised it?
No. Unless you tip.
But if Nefer Nefer calls you to feel part of the movement, then you will join it.
No, unless you have enough peer pressure. Like, there was a friend of mine in Teaneck that said to me that in Teaneck, I don't know if this is true, I'm sure there's still plenty of Jews in Teaneck, but she said to me, like, we feel a lot of pressure from our friends to make Aliyah.
Really?
That's what she said.
Who made Aliyah?
They did not make Aliyah.
Not yet made Aliyah. No, so how do they feel pressure?
Friends that have made Aliyah.
They have so many. Yeah, they have so many friends that were making Aliyah or going to make. It was like the thing. Again, maybe
good. All about it. Okay.
But I mean,
it's not the socially trendy Jewish thing to do is to make Aliyah.
No, it's not.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's a strange concept.
It can't be. It can't be.
Why does?
Where are these people going? You would know. I didn't jump. Look at the numbers. It was 3,500 the year I made Aliyah. How many was it the year you made Aliyah?
No idea.
Now it's 4,000.
How many was it 10 years ago?
Same.
A little less.
No, it's not. It's a lot less, I think.
10 years ago is not fair. 10 years ago was highly intifada.
Whatever.
Let's go on. He highlights the point. I will strengthen the words of the of Meir Simcha with the words of Tehillim. To call Hakahot, Ba'u al Ba'ut al Yisrael Mishum. Shame of action in Eretz Yisrael. Excuse me. The Midrash says all of these smitings occur because we don't seek out Israel. Aval Hakahot, Hemakvar Ratzim Eretz Yisrael. After the smitings, we run to Israel. Kasher Ma'asim Tizmanenu Mochichim. As nowadays, meaning in the Holocaust, proves. Kulam Hayu Ratzim Eretz Yisraelim Hayu Cholim. If they could, they would run to Eretz Yisrael. Imayu menichim otam leilech. If we would let them go. As elu sheitnagdu meolam tenuata aliyah. Even those people that always opposed aliyah. Ach, halicha kazo b'chinat tachisha b'makel. But their going is coerced.
So why didn't God open the borders? Why didn't he make it easier for people to make aliyah during the Holocaust?
Aval. I don't know. I wish I had the answer to that. Im hayu mitzaitim lekol hakriya shel tzadikim asher itoveru lazeh. But those same people, if they had listened to the tzadikim that were awakened, hayu nimshachim erem v'chinat mashcheni acharecha narutza, they would have been drawn mashcheni acharecha narutza, v'lo hayu tzvichim lechol elu ha-haka'ot shel hakinu b'itot achronot halal. They would not have been subject to these terrible pains. That's true. I mean, If you and your family lived in Poland in 1935, and some rabbi said you guys should move to Israel, and you did, it wouldn't have been pleasant in Israel, but you certainly wouldn't have been decimated in Poland.
But where was the call of the Sadiqim doing this?
It wasn't mass, there were some. Very few. Of course, some people.
Lazarov and all that.
What?
In 31 with Lazarov.
In?
Yeah, he went to call the Jews of Warsaw.
Yeah. There were Jews that said, there were rabbis that said it. Sure. Really? Of course. Just not Rav Teichfeld's ilk. He ignored them out of hand.
But it's so sad.
Why?
Because we would only see clearly, right? Mashreni acharecha nerutza. That was the next pasuk. Kaviyani amelech hadarav.
Right.
Like Gilav and
Israel. Right. That's the key.
Hashem says. It's like Like, hello, like, you know, if someone says to you, you know, I'm going to give you the chance to whatever it is that you want to do, you know, be in the inner circle. Again, you know, I'm opening all the doors to you. You're going to be in the inner circle. You're going to be in...
It's always like that. It's like Kol Odi Dofek, right? It's like the door, the opportunity is right there. Like, you know, the opportunity is there, the opportunity is there. I just heard, I was like, yeah, I was listening to Rav Miller, who's Rosh Kollel in the Gros Kollel. So he gave a really nice speech to the Kollel on Yom Yerushalayim. He said the Chafetz Chaim once, somebody came to, I don't remember, a great big rabbi came to visit the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim said, are you a Kohen? He says, no. He said, why aren't you a Kohen? Because my father's not a Kohen. He said, well, why is your father not a Kohen? He said, because my grandfather's not a Kohen. The Chafetz Chaim says, well, why is your grandfather not a Kohen? Then he realized, I'm going to stop talking now. Let him say what he wants to say. He said, the reason is, he said, well, I'm a Kohen. Do you know why I'm a Kohen? He says, because when Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't really understand this 100%, but
yeah,
I said, sure, when Moshe Rabbeinu called and said, Mila Hashem Eli, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather ran. And your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather didn't. So he said, Sir Mila said, Chafetz Chaim said, when Hashem says, Mila Hashem Eli, run. And that's what he said. I didn't get the Kohen thing. Levi, I could see. Kohen, I don't know. Anyway. He says, Avalim Hayu. Okay.
Assuming that the Kohanim would only have been the Kohanim because they were from Shevet Levi, which then became more important.
That's not true, though, because it's all the children of Aaron. Kohanim were only the children of Aaron. The only
who
one.
Who said?
What do you mean? Only Pinchas, right?
Who said?
The Torah says it.
Only after that.
Meaning only the sons of. No, because otherwise. Oh, you mean it would be the Bechorim would be the Kohanim?
Maybe.
The Midrash says, "Ilu zachitem, ha'item karim tovatorah tivi'eimo betita'im b'hanachalatcha." You should bring me. You should plant them in Torah b'hanachalatcha. V'achshav shelo zachitem. Now that you didn't merit, hariyatere karim. You have to read tavokaratam lefanecha adkan. Hakavana, the same idea. The ilu zachitem, ha'ita ha'aliyah le'eretz Yisrael b'derech mashcheni acharecha narutza. And between all of you and me, as hard as our aliyah was, Baruch Hashem.
Zero.
Well, it's hard.
No.
I mean, it's hard to... Klita is hard. But getting here is not hard. What?
Getting here is on the script. Today it's on the script. You have to go on a boat and hope you get to the gate. Tomorrow.
Right. So, Joe.
Hide and...
Mashcheni acharecha narutza. Right? If you hear the call, it's easy. It ain't going to be on that way. I mean, sadly, I truly believe that Rav Teichdahl's, his words are prophetic in their nature, that story repeats itself. And then it keeps repeating itself in ever so such smaller cycles. And that while it's easy now, and it was relatively easier at a time, it will not always be easy. And there will again come a time where it will be.
When was there another time like today that it was easy to make aliyah?
What?
When was there a time that it was easy to make aliyah?
Now.
Right, say, but when else was there?
No.
I'm talking ease.
I'm saying, I mean ease of leaving the country you're at and deciding I want to live in Israel. You know what I'm saying?
Did you ever give a rah-rah speech at your show before you made Sadiq
Never.
Kalia?
Never.
Never.
Never. I didn't feel I had to. I think it would not have been effective. It would have been alienated
what's
people.
I've got to move to Israel.
You disagree with me? You think that would have made a difference? I think that the best speech I possibly could have given was...
Did you give a rah-rah speech when you after you decided to make Kalia?
No.
Never.
No. What's the point?
I don't know.
What? Meaning...
I'm not.
No, the reason I think I didn't want... I actually drew a very... It was very touchy, because if the rabbi gets up and makes aliyah, right, then you think the congregation doesn't know that the rabbi thinks that they all should get up and make aliyah? Really? Mm. So I have to get up and make them all feel bad that they're not making aliyah? It was a little, it's like a little...
I try.
What?
I try every so often.
I think that,
No, I'm not saying you should have, but I try to make other people realize.
Yeah, but
they hate that.
Your general
yeah, but someone got to say it.
I was always pro-Zionist.
Stop sleeping with your neighbor's wife.
I actually encouraged whenever everybody else made aliyah, I wish my mouth talk, whenever you know, we had Kiddush, it was like, we were very pro-aliyah shul, even though it decimated our shul. You know what I'm saying? Like when somebody would go, we would make a big deal out of it. Really big deal out of it. A lot of people. When the Zaxes went.
So then why do you need to make a whole rubber rubbing speech?
I don't think I did.
So you've done it all the way through your whole...
Yeah, yeah. I was always very, very pro. Although they say now that in America, the Herhurin blog that I read, they say that rabbis are talking less and less about Israel. that it's like...
Really?
That's what they say. I don't know if it's true or not. It's interesting.
That's an answer.
But you think... I just don't think... I think it would have been counterproductive to hit them over the head.
I don't think anyone ever hears a speech and says, you know what? What are we doing here? I don't know.
Nobody does that.
I did.
Nobody?
I did. I heard this speech. We got it all started. I heard a speech by Rav Shalom Gold. He gave it at a Young Israel conference to rabbis. And it was his story of Aliyah. I remember it to this day. He says, I want to tell you about a slice of pizza. You know, you ever hear Shalom Gold? Slice of pizza, a dog, and a bar mitzvah. He tells these three stories about slice of pizza. About he had a slice of pizza with these guys who were learning. They don't make Aliyah. The dog story is the funniest story. He said, I had these balabatim. He was the rabbi of the Young Israel of West Hempstead, which is not, it is no small stellar. It's a very significant community even then. And he said, we had these people, they were balei tshuva. They used to go. He says, at night I used to go for walks in the community. And he said, they also used to go for walks. And they were these great, wonderful balei tshuva. So I'm going for a walk one day, and then they say, Rabbi, we decided to make Aliyah. He says, we looked at the Torah. It seems to say a lot of places you should live in Israel. We're going. And they went. See, he said they had a dog, and they couldn't take the dog at the time for whatever reason. And so it just so happens that at the time he was in the throes of deciding whether to make Aliyah, you know. And so what? So one day, so he's walking around, he sees the neighbor like of the thing. They say, Rabbi, you'll never believe it. Fluffy got his papers. Fluffy's making Aliyah. And he says to himself right then and there, he says, that hunt is not going to make Aliyah. I'm not going.
So the dog,
yeah. Right, you know, like, so he tells another story also. But I remember, like you hear, that did happen to me. Hear a speech, and you're like, you know? But I didn't think it was worth pushing. It's sensitive. Especially also remember, when a rabbi leaves a shul, okay, it's one thing if they fire you, then they're getting rid of you. But there's a lot of personal relationships, so there's a sense of alienation in a sense.
Yeah, but you're still doing what's best for you. You're not trying to.
100%.
You're not trying to alienate them because they don't want to go.
So what did Riskin do that caused people to?
He apparently didn't do so much. Apparently, it wasn't his whole shul going.
Yeah, that's it's all legend.
Good publicity stuff.
That's all legend. Legend. I think a few people
how
went. Six or seven. They said six, seven families. Exactly. How many
Zero.
Came with? No. It's not because it's not like oh the rabbi's going now I'm going to go. Like you didn't think of it until the rabbi did go.
Something has to push the button. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what it's called? Hateful burning anti-Semitism. That's all. Is that what you meant?
Why? No one from America.
There's a very.
If there's a pogrom in America, just watch the Aliyah rock.
One pogrom? There's going to be one. One, they'll all tell themselves it was an isolated incident.
It's one.
I was just in the UK with a guy who I'm very fond of. Yeah. And he was like, literally, he's not an ideal person. He's like, it's getting a bit odd here.
Yeah?
Like, it's really getting just too much.
In America, it's not. But America, it's not going to happen like that. It will be great, great, great. And the winds of change will shift in an instant.
These couple of years of presidency haven't been enough to show.
No, I actually totally disagree. I totally disagree. They made it worse. Why?
No, but they've managed to slip through the cracks without getting it.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
Despite okay. Obama, people are still okay.
Yeah.
APEC is strong.
Very strong.
APEC is very strong.
I must tell you, I went to one APEC conference, and it's wonderful. It's terrific. The thing that scared me most about the APEC conference is, I spoke about in shul, it's very much based on politics. And politicians don't have any essential values to themselves. All they have, all they value is what's going to get them to win. So if, for whatever reason, the winds of change shifted, all the support that APEC had would evaporate in an instant. In an instant. Because it's not that clear, you know what I'm saying? That it's so, I'm sorry, am I depressing you?
I mean, it's obviously this is not only about Aliyah.
What do you mean?
The whole topic is not just about Aliyah, it's about opportunities, spiritual opportunities in all different realms.
HaKavana, de'ilu zachitem, where we did that, one second. Okay, ha'ita v'aliyah le'eretz Yisrael b'derech mashchinu v'acharecha na'utza. Ha'ilu v'chira to what happened to Korei Lava ho'lechat acharav. V'ha'inu tivyemo, bring me, draw me in. K'mo mi shehomolichu mevi l'acher sholech v'rosh v'nim shach acharav. I draw you, I pull you to me, I grab you. V'achshav shelo zachitem. Sorry, you didn't merit. Shelo ratzitem li'imashech hakar kol ha'kriya shel ha'tzadikim. And if it's not true then, how much more true is it now? When you have nefesh benefesh, who can come to Rabbeinu Shlomo and say, nobody told me to come? That's the koach nefesh benefesh. They say, we'll help you.
It's bad though.
What?
But when was he?
I always said, I even said to Jeff Fass once, I said, I don't like your slogan. The slogan is live the dream. You know, like live the dream, you can make aliyah. It makes Israel into this like Israel is not what you think it is when you go like on your federation mission anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like
that's what they're basing it on.
But it makes it harder in a sense because I don't want to live a dream. I always thought they should base their slogan. They should make it based on the, you remember the old Home Depot ad? You can build it. We can help. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? They should say, oh yeah, you could do it. We're going to help you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all. It's not a dream. It's not like chalom chalamti. You're going to live in this amazing place and it's going to be this like spiritual existence. It's not. You got to go to work.
Yeah, I got you.
What? Got you.
where were the Jewish people ever pulled?
When were we pulled?
Yeah.
What do you mean pulled?
What do you mean? Ezra in the time.
No. In the last 200 years.
What do you mean pulled? Like chased out?
No, I mean, drawn in.
Yeah, drawn in.
The Zionists were drawn in. What are you talking about? They hear the call. You know, they're going to go and told the students to go.
Call the show.
Okay.
The call. How many people heard it? That's the problem. How many? Very, 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 very few.
Closed.
What?
The gates were still closed.
It was not closed until the Holocaust. It was really not closed until it became so many. What? Until it became so many.
Quotas and British.
The British only had quotas when it became so many that the Arabs complained and were afraid of being overrun. 20s, 30s, whatever it was. Right? When it got bad, when people wanted to leave, then the British made the quotas. It's hard to understand. Okay, let's just finish. I want to finish the section. It's the same thing. It has to be. There's only no other way. You will cry out, all of your ra'atam, your evil come before you. Hainu ayideh ra'ot, shisidgucha, ataratza lefanav yitbarach. Right? Because of all the things that reached you, all the terrible things that got to you, you ran before God. V'tarvoka ra'atam lefanecha, hainu sher ra'ot tevi'ucha liyot bebechinat lefanecha. Remember, he says, instead of mashcheni acharecha, right? Then we're lefanecha, before our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tavo ratza lefanav. U'kvo she'anu ra'im bezmaneinu, as we see today. Shakol ratzim le'eretz Yisrael ayde ha'kaot she'sigum v'inyan nachon ma'od be'emet. V'akapot marim. Who wrote the kapot marim? One second. I don't know. Pasuk tzion hi doresh en la. Right? It is tzion. He has no dorshim. Katu b'feirush b'pasuk hazeh. Di Yisrael hayu mitra'amim al tzaroteyem. Jews were complaining about the tzarot. Alken sholach Hashem devaro v'amar. So God sent him a message that said, Ma atem mitra'amim. What are you questioning about? Hey, lo k'tzara yadim min hoshia. It's not that I can't save you. Ma aser da amanotechem garu. Right? Your sins caused it. Tzion doresh en la. Because no, Tzion has no one to seek her out. V'hitzo'eket lefanai she'en atem zochrim ota. And she complains and complains. You don't remember. You don't remember her. Im kein. Eifo eches goretchem legaochem. I'm supposed to redeem you? Before I can redeem you, you got to do something important. And that is, move. Try to be redeemed. Akam l'shnar harei de'im an uzochrim et Tzion. Yidrash b'shloma. If we remember to seek the wellness of Tzion, then az yivtzeku atzarot. Okay. So you can continue. You should continue on this theme. V'atvinei ita b'tikudei zohar ala pasuk. Ani Hashem b'ita achishena. We're all familiar with that very famous pasuk, right? B'ita, in its time, achishena, I will hasten. How can it be B'ita? The Gemara says, how can it be B'ita and Achishena? How can it be in its time and go fast? So the Gemara says, no, it's not. It's either or. Im zachu Achishena. Im lo zachu B'ita. If they merit, then it goes quickly. And if they don't merit, then whatever. And normally Chazal understood that to mean there's a set time for Mashiach. Okay? But if an Esau merit, then it'll come faster than that.
It's one of the scariest psukim of the whole year.
Why? When did we read it? When did we read B'ita Achishena?
So, after.
Yeah?
Why? Because I always think like Bita Achishena, it's the last line of the Haftarah. Then you know that like it's like put up or shut up time.
Yeah.
Like
it's you mean Kikava?
It's like 1 week. It's like 1 week to Sikhosi. Bita Achishena is like the last. It's like the end of the summer. Like, like enough daydreaming. It's time for Mavarchim Chodesh Elul.
I hear. Okay, I want to finish. I actually want to get through this piece. It's a little complicated. I want to read through it. Be'et Hashem, Tzarech Leminda Ma'i Hashem. Says the Zohar, we have to figure out what is Eit Hashem. It's reading in the Aramaic. Va'it Eit, Ve'it Eit. There's a time and there's a time. Ubegein Da, in this matter, Amar Kohelet, Eit Livkot, Ve'et Lischok. There's a time for laughter and a time for crying. Ve'raza de Mila. Okay, what's the Raza? Raza, the secret of the word. Miyad yeti eight debechia, eight dedachko li Yisrael. Miyad, immediately after there's a time of bechia, a time of dochak, a time of tightness, of difficulty for Yisrael. Yeah, we got time, right? We got a few minutes. Miyad yehelon purkana, then immediately salvation. Hu hadavar. So the Zohar says, what does it mean? Eid livkot ve'eid lischok means right after the time to cry, there will be a time to laugh. There are many crying times. There are a lot of painful times. How can we know which one is the right time? Ella eid debechia ihu. For Raza Demila is a time. It is a time of crying. And Raza Demila, and the secret of the word Bebechi Yavou, they will come in tears. Bebechi Didalut, the tears of poverty, of lowness. Dekach Salik Chushban Bebechi, Kechushban Da. Because if you do the gematria of Bebechi is a gematria of Da. So it's the crying, the tears of poverty. Since Moshe Rabbeinu saw this, it says about him, right? He was a Na'ar Bocheh. Remember, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was in the Teva, it was a Na'ar Bocheh. Miyad makti batar b'chiyah. What happens after the crying? Vatachmol alav. She had compassion upon him. Who did? Bakparo, the Purkana. Yikum Purkan. What is Purkan?
Salvation.
Ad kan l'shono. Got all that? Hooray. The Zohar be'er lanu matay yehait de be'ita. When is be'ita? Ha'inu kama shamar kohelet eid livkot. Ha'inu, what is be'eit shiye eid de bechia, az eid de purkana. When is the time of salvation? When there's a time of crying. Okay, and b'li safek shiyiganu le'eit hazot. Without a doubt we got to this time. D'yesh lishmua kolot shal bechia b'yameinu b'chol pina u'pina shal batei Yisrael. I think it's important just sometimes to read this, because I think, like I said at the very beginning, we just forgot about the Holocaust. Like it's a forgotten memory in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Like as much as we say we don't, we just did. You know, things are good for the Jews. I think there's a lot, like throughout Jewish history, things never improved as quickly. So when there was a pogrom, like you went on, but you couldn't forget. Because you were still trod upon. They just weren't killing you today.
This has been a long time quiet.
A long time? Quiet?
Well, nobody's been killing you before.
Other than the Arabs.
Right, but that's not in a...
That's not anti-Semitism?
Not in a grandiose scale that's enough.
Not in a Holocaust scale. So we forget about the Holocaust.
It's not the same as a pogrom top.
All right, if that makes you feel better. Ki b'beit Yisrael yesh li'ot she'ar u'rea g'dola rachman etzan. Her complaints, her travails are great. Ein zech l'daber ma she'na'asah im'achinu b'nei Yisrael b'Polin. Medina Slovakia, Europa. You know, there's no point in mentioning what's going on, what happened to Poland and Slovakia. Harigot, the murder and the killing, and such manners of cruelty. You know, a child and old, destruction of great communities. Right, they murdered children. Communities. Kala Gareshit Garshu La Eres Gzeira Be'erim Chos Kofor. They have been exiled to Eretz Erom. Eretz Erom, naked land, which is what?
Yeah.
Concentration camp. No. To the land of the naked, the nothing. V'libi libi al chalaleihem. My heart cries out on their deaths, on their loss. U'me'ayim ayay al chalaleihem. My guts cry out. V'chitzarech le'eti b'chiyah yoter mizeh. Do you need any more crying than this? It's like bad enough, isn't it? Like, do we need anything worse than that? Okay. We got mibnei hashem amar zohar. From what zohar said, habechia miramezet al hadachkut v'hadalut. Right. This bechia, this crying, is a hint, is a reference to the pressure and the poverty. Same thing happened in our days. Right? Jewish money is gone. You should see how they just stole Jewish money overtly. They took every Jewish thing. Malbushim, klei bayit. They took clothing, furniture. They took everything. He says to the Jew, give it to me. And the Jew has to give it to him. And the Jews were left with nothing. And it was fulfilled. Do you have a translation? Are you with me in the translation? Yeah?
Which in fulfilling the verse, because of the plundering of the poor, the sighing of the needy, now I arise, says the Lord.
Right.
Tehillim or the next part?
That's one. That's it, Tehillim. Exactly right. Do we have time to finish the paragraph? 4 minutes, we'll make it. Aval, oh, lo zachinu lezeh. Halavai, that was it. Becho asu hani achbari rishi, those dirty rats. Those evil mice. Okay? Ima metaltalin, something with our money. Magan v'nechasim she'ena metaltalin. What about our houses? Kamo bati v'asadot. Hakol lachu me'itanu be'odeinu sham shvuyim be'ineim. They took it everything from us. V'achar ka gazlu me'itanu gam etachayim. And then they stole our lives. Shegashu otanu, they kicked us out. They didn't let us go where we want. Okay, it's one thing, kick us out. Let us go where we want. No, they sent us to the concentration camps. And then the people die in starvation. This is just a drop in the bucket of achzariyot she'asalanu below asham kapenu, of the cruelty that was done to us without any guilt. Rak masha anu zera Abraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. Okay, just because we were the children of obviously Yaakov. V'nishba kol matel lanu lachin v'Yisrael kol yoshem luchot Europa, and every Jew in Europe lost all of defense. V'chi yesh lecha dachut v'daluk du'la mizeh. Is there anything or any worse pain and suffering? Mamash nitkayim benu ma'amar Rabbi Petzafanya v'ishati v'kibich am ani v'dal v'chasu b'shem Hashem. So this is the fulfillment of the nevuah. I'm going to have to stop here because we're out of time. He says, but nonetheless, he says, the time has come. He says, if there's an ita b'ita, this is the time, like, you know, after the time of crying, then it's time for the rejoicing. So he goes, he's like, I'm going to prove to you this is the time of crying. And once I know it's time for the crying has come, so therefore it has to be the time afterwards, the time of the rejoicing. Okay, we'll stop here.